Great communicator who came through. The name is Dr. Marshall. He speaks on heart transplantation. Dr. Marshall was well known when on Earth in research on cancer. You'll hear some playing going on the tape. Now this is spirit children who often play about with the mic.
Good morning, friends. I heard you very plainly. Come on.
Everything's all right.
Oh, sorry, George, I'm so pleased to hear that.
Very sorry George couldn't come, but of course we appreciate the reasons.
Yes.
And I think it's very wise of him, and I'm very glad to know he's taken some advice at last. Just as well if he stayed in the warm on such an occasion as this, and the condition of the atmosphere as it is, I'm jolly glad at least that he's seen a little common sense.
Thank you.
Anyway, I can always come and talk to you. Yes, of course. I'm so sorry. I should have announced it. You can always take back the recording. Actually, I was listening earlier on to your conversation.
Yes.
Well, I think that one must expect, to some extent, criticism. If it's frank and honest and genuine, one shouldn't mind too much. Of course, there are times when one has a certain amount of prejudice to put up with. This is to be expected also, I regret to say.
Yes.
Anyway, I wouldn't let it disturb you. I don't think it was intended to be unkind.
No.
I don't think it was intended to imply that the work wasn't genuine either. I think that one has to take into consideration all sorts of factors, and I think it's just one of those things that you have to accept. Human beings being what they are, even if they're spiritualists, and perhaps more so because they are sometimes what they are, it's best to accept it and don't worry about it. I don't think you should have been perturbed about it.
No, it just seemed a little bit for us to read it
two-faced,
that was all.
Yes, but it wasn't a critical, or was it? Would you say it was criticizing the mediumship?
Well, the last sentence of that article, I would say, it could have very nice implications.
Really?
Yes, I do.
Well, I haven't read the article.
No, I don't know
what I pick up from your own thoughts. Anyway, everyone must serve to the best of their own ability in their own fashion, their own way, and according to their own light or lack of it.
But they are doing
well as well,
takes up
there. There's no doubt about it that we shall achieve a great deal in South Africa. And I'll make a statement to the effect that our tapes, the work that we're doing together, will make much more of an impact than anything else that's been done there or is being done.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope at some later date to follow it up. And then I think you will see, and others will see for themselves, from first-hand experience, that that's not at the moment, that's not possible, but
yes.
Later.
That will be wonderful.
You know, you are blazing a trail. You're opening up doors which have been shut for a long time. These tapes, which means so much to you and to so many people. The effort, the work that you put into them has made it possible for many people to become aware, to become conscious of the reality of spiritual communication. And I feel, and I know that you should feel also, that a great deal has been done but much more is yet to be done. And you will see yourself, personally, what effect this work has had on people, individually and collectively. There will come a time when you yourself will be given the opportunity to travel. But this isn't practical at the moment for you any more than it is for the medium. But these tapes, they will be criticized. I think that it's only natural that one should expect that they should be. Of course, perhaps one sometimes doesn't expect them to be criticized from certain quarters. But of course, there are many factors, and I wouldn't like to be unkind and say perhaps altogether what I know to be factual in regard to certain persons. People have various motives. I regret to say not always kind, not always wise or good. But the thing is that we are reaching a tremendous number of people, arousing a great deal of interest, stimulating them to think for themselves and to search, and I hope at some later date it may be possible for them to have the personal contact which they are anxious to make. Mm. I think it is, of course, obviously the personal link, the personal contact, the being present on occasions like this that will do so much good, which will give them the incentive to go further and to do more. For it is, as I've said, you are knocking doors, and then later on we should be able to forge ahead much more and do a great deal, which will, I'm sure, benefit vast numbers of people.
We are so grateful to all the people in the other who are helping
us to say. Yes, you've got some very good contacts there, and I'm certain that you will have the opportunity to meet those people. Indeed, I would go as far as to say that you will not only meet the people concerned, in some cases, that you will become great personal friends. And it will open up doors which will certainly further the truth and further the opportunity of spreading the truth. It's just a matter of time and patience, and don't be put off or perturbed about individuals who cause you a little concern or upset. There are reasons which I have no desire to speak about, and one can only put these things down to, well, personal factors. Everyone must serve according to his light, in his own fashion, in his own way. And one must try to realize that every individual concerned, according to their own way of thought, is doing their part, doing their work. Sometimes, of course, one doesn't necessarily always see eye to eye. There are times when one is irritated, one is upset, one feels perhaps one's not getting the support or the help or assistance that one might have from quarters where you would have expected it. But human nature being what it is, we must make these alliances and not be too upset and perturbed when we don't always seem to have the assistance we need.
Yeah.
Anyway, don't let it worry you.
Somehow,
yes, go.
May I ask you some, ask that sandwich all again? Can you give me your actual opinion on what do you think about all this transplantation that's going on?
Oh, this is not the first time I've been
asked
that.
No, I think
well, frankly, I'm not happy about it for various reasons. I realize that in isolated instances or cases, there are certain things that can be said in support of it. But then again, you see, I don't necessarily see in the same light And some obviously must see on your side. I mean, if a doctor is on your side of life, he sees things purely on a material level. He has no conception of the mental and spiritual aspect, and he doesn't enter into any of the realizations of things that I have. You see, I can see little good of this. I mean, it's a matter of patching up a human being, perhaps for a few years, and this seems to me, in many cases, unnecessary. I think that we must get our whole attitude towards life changed in our life. In other words, I think that it's too much put upon the body. I know it's human nature, and as a doctor, I suppose call myself that, I would say that we have a duty to, when on earth, to do everything that we can to assist the sick and the suffering, and that it is a good thing to research and find methods and ways of assisting humanity and bettering humanity and improving the health of humanity. There are many, many factors in this, but there are also certain things that I cannot feel within myself are good. I cannot see any justification for heart transplantation. For various reasons, I think one of the main reasons, of course, is the fact that waiting for a person to die, and immediately, as is often thought, the person is dead, to remove certain vital organs, whether it's the heart or liver or whatever it may be, kidneys and so on, to transplant into another physical body, is certainly, from my point of view, wrong, because a person, an individual, a spirit, that is, does not necessarily leave the body immediately when it appears all signs of life is finished. So really, the entity, the so-called dead entity, is often very much attached to the body, or around by the body, at the time this is taking place, when the heart is being removed. So therefore, from that point of view, I think it is wrong, because this can and does have, in some cases, on some individuals who are not fully removed from the body, that is, by the spirit, could have a very bad effect. And this attitude of mind, of looking upon the body as a machine, which in a sense, of course, it is, but nevertheless, to think that you can remove a part of a machine to plant into another body, to give it more working opportunity, in other words, to transplant the heart into another person in the hope that it will keep that person going, seems to me from many angles wrong. I don't think that the person who has a transplant heart will benefit, even though he may live for a year or perhaps 2 years. He will never be a normal human being in the fullest sense of the meaning of that term, and there can be repercussions in a mental state. I don't think this has even been touched upon, but the whole thing is so complex in so many different ways. For the person whose heart is removed, for the person who receives a new heart, for the doctors who also are partaking in this, it all may seem on the surface a brilliant piece of work, but it may well be, in a sense, that I would go as far as to say that it was never intended, and it certainly cannot be an achievement in the true sense. For this to happen or to take place, I think that the person, when that time has come, should be allowed to pass over normally and quietly and peacefully. And quite often, in many instances, nature gives human life an opportunity to adjust itself into the transition from your world to this. I know this doesn't apply in many instances. There are many cases where a person is killed suddenly in an accident or something of the sort. But quite often, there are opportunities for the individual to be transformed from one condition to another in a natural sequence of events. And this business, as soon as a person has stopped to breathe, stopped breathing, for the surgeons to start removing organs, it is definitely, in my opinion, wrong, ethically, morally, spiritually, and in every possible sense. I would not advocate it. I would, in fact, do everything in my power to prevent it, because no one is going to benefit from this. Not the person who is so-called dead, whose heart is removed, nor the person who receives the heart, nor the persons who conduct the operation. It is, in my opinion, completely and absolutely an unnatural and unethical thing.
Surely there also a heart would have adverse vibration. I'm thinking from a psychic point of view, adverse vibrations perhaps, and you're going to introduce those vibrations against other vibrations.
Well, there are many factors. This is so, to a point, this is definitely so, because every human being has his own peculiar auric emanation, has his own particular aspects that I can't even begin to define or describe in words. Although human beings, in a sense, to the surgeon's eyes, are much the same, organically and physically, there are subtle differences. Indeed, I go as far as to say there are differences which are, in some instances, very obvious. And I think it is wrong to assume that the heart of one person will necessarily act for another. It may, in a sense, that is purely on a level of material thought and condition and basis, it may function perhaps only for a time. But I don't think they realize that what one might term side issues, which would affect the person who's received the heart at some later date. There are all sorts of factors that are taking place, that could take place in this whole business, which to the average person, the doctor in particular, would not necessarily be apparent. One could go on stating all sorts of subtle reasons for this not happening. I don't see that any good can come of it, you see.
It's going against natural law, isn't it?
It's going against natural law, it's going against psychic law, it's going against every law. Mm-hmm. It's unnatural in the first place.
They don't understand it.
And you see, too much is put upon life, material life. Too much is given to the fact that prolonging a life seems to be the thing to do. It's becoming more and more the thing to prolong human life. In fact, there are certain things happening at the moment of which you know nothing, that are happening in Russia in particular, among certain scientists who, and they have discovered certain things which I cannot go into detail, but very soon it will come out into public, that certain things have been discovered that could prolong human life to double its span, normal span that is. But this would involve all sorts of things, including transplant possibly in some cases, but this isn't the answer. This indeed isn't the whole thing. But certain things are happening which, to my way of thinking, are frightening, are natural, which will cause all manner of complexities should it come to pass at later date. For instance, as it is, the world is overpopulated. And if one's life is prolonged, then of course what is the ultimate result? That the world will be so overpopulated by people who on the surface look remarkably young for their age, but are physically in a sense old. Apart from all the young people that have been coming into the world, in fact, it seems to me diabolical to even consider it. It is human and natural for the individual, after the so-called reasonable allotted span, to pass from the world into this, but to prolong life, to find, and indeed to go to the extremes that certain scientists are now beginning to go into, to prolong life to such an extent that it would become a nightmare. You see, the world is changing to such an extent that it is becoming, and will become, I regret to say, less and less human, inasmuch that it will become more and more artificial. The point is that it will not be a human life in the real sense of the term for future generations. At least something happens to stop a lot of these things, which are now in the early stages, it is true, but if they come to pass, you will be having artificially created children.
Oh, that's
and that's going to create circumstances whereby you will be having all manner of strange creatures. I'm afraid almost to mention some of these things because they are in themselves, to our way of thinking, well, so unnatural. But you don't realize it. I'm sure you don't. The average person doesn't realize. But you know your world is changing in such a way, it may be very subtle, it may be very slow, but from the scientific aspects alone, the changes are many which have not yet been felt fully by the human race. And indeed there are scientists who are not even allowed to speak or make public certain things that they have already discovered, which could create in the world, if they were made public, these findings, so much apprehension and concern that it could lead to a great deal of unrest. Already there is unrest in your world. The young at the moment are full of unrest and uncertainty, unsure of themselves, and yet at the same time they are thinking, many of them, much more than they've ever thought. I think there's much to be said for the young people today, and I think that they are quizzing, they are trying to find out, they're trying to do something rather than sit back like sheep waiting to be slaughtered. Whatever one may say against the young, at least they are mentally stimulated, they are mentally trying to discover and to find out, and they are becoming more active. And I think that it is only with the young people, and it is only through young people, that we can hope that the future may be saved from many of the terrible things which are going on in places which are not made public, are not known about, the youngsters don't know, but they sense, I think the young people feel and they sense the future, or the possibility of what the future may become. They've seen the mess that the old have created. They've seen two major wars brought about by a man's stupidity and foolishness, and the way in which nations have gone to war, one against the other, countries against the other, a futile waste of human life, and all the good things that might have been accomplished. I think the young are beginning to sense and to feel things much more acutely, much more than we ever did, and much more adventuresome. I think that they are the only hope that we have that they may, in their sanity, ultimate sanity, bring about certain changes which are so necessary, so essential, which can save the world from this disaster that, you see, so much is allowed to happen by governments. There's so much fear in the world, and this builds, in consequence, certain situations where science in particular is used in the wrong way, and where they are encouraged to search and to discover methods and means which are for destruction rather than for the good. And you see, there's always this balance of good and evil. There's always, with science of course, there's always the possibility of that which has been discovered being used for the good of humanity, or for the bad, or for the evil. And so it seems to me that this also applies in medicine very much so. I mean, there are many aspects of medicine that are excellent, that are wonderful, that have been a great benefit and joy to mankind. But you see, if this business of transplanting is allowed to continue, it won't stop with transplantation of a heart. There will be all sorts of other things. Already experiments are in progress and have been made, which I don't wish to discuss because they are so disgusting and so appalling, so dreadful. But you know, this, if this goes on, it won't stop with a transplant of a heart.
No.
And this is unnatural. It is appalling beyond belief. Personally, I think that we can only hope and pray that something will happen, that this will not be allowed to continue, that there will, something may yet happen. I think that already they're seeing the red light. I will say that, and as is that to be said, I think that certain things are happening which are discouraging. It may well be that this may stop. I can only hope that it will. But of course you will always have a certain section who have they have no doubts in themselves. They have great belief in what they're doing. They see it in an entirely different light. In fact, they cease almost to be human. They are exceptional, rare birds, rare cases, I must admit. But there are these types who almost, one might say, are not human. This sounds a dreadful thing to say, but their attitude towards human life isn't the same as most people. They look upon human bodies purely as machines, and they want to experiment with them, see what they can do with them, if they can do this or that. They're not concerned with the individual. Of course, sometimes there is this presence on the surface, believing or thinking or trying to give the impression that they're concerned with the human being as such. But they're not thinking on those lines. The callous way in which experiments are conducted on animals, their attitude of mind towards human beings is much the same in some cases. No, I'm afraid I do not support transplants, whether it's of heart or anything else, really. Certainly, I do not believe in taking any of the vital organs from a human being that has just died. There may be some justification in some cases, particularly when the person has been dead some days. when the spirit is completely released from the body and there's no contact, the use of an individual's eyes is justifiable. I do not see that that in itself is any great thing to worry about, because that is doing a great service to someone who can perhaps be fortunate enough to be made to see, some young person perhaps. But when it gets to the point that they start to take out vital organs of a human being a few seconds after the so-called death has taken place, when probably the patient isn't dead anyway, and they're just waiting, and indeed this opens up all sorts of dangers. It could well be in some cases that they, well, yes, one doesn't like to admit this, but there are those who wouldn't hesitate, you think. I think, personally, I have no time for transplantation of organs. Anyway, tell George, send him all my love and blessings, and we gladly can help him. And as for the criticism, if it can be so called, this you must expect. Sometimes it hurts if it comes from a certain quarter where you would expect praise rather than criticism. But this is human nature, and we must accept it. As long as you know, as you are, doing what you can to the best of your ability to spread truth and give enlightenment, you are doing your job. The doors will be opened at a later date. Don't worry. Expect criticism, but don't let it worry you. Don't let it depress you. Anyway,
why is
Mrs. Laura? She's very well, very happy, of course. Now she's settled down and much more resigned, much more happier state of mind. I'm afraid I had a bit of a problem with her at first, but that's all over, I think. Goodness. Oh yes, I wouldn't like to go into that now. Oh yes, she was very resentful, you know. She was very confused and mixed up and very concerned about certain aspects of herself and her life and all so many things which she... I don't know. I had great hopes, of course, of that. But our friend in Scotland doesn't seem to have done anything. Anyway, I'm not worried as long as they... As long as everyone does their best, the best of their ability, no one can do more. Give my love to George. Goodbye.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.